Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Last week, we spent the night on one verse. That was fun, wasn't it? Great, yes, okay. Tonight, we're going to skip through a whole lot of verses. We're going to go through Romans 10:14 to 11:32. Now, I am not going to read it all out. I'm going to read out a couple of parts that really struck me as a message that God wants to share with people. Now, every word in the scriptures can be used at different times. It's all good for teaching. It's all good for exhortation. But there's sometimes it's just a specific time and a specific message that God wants to send out. And I believe in these days, we're in a time where God is calling his people back to himself. There are many that have been before us that through the years and through the times have fallen away. We have people, and I don't mean fallen away, become bad people, but they've just been disheartened or disillusioned. And I always imagine what it would have been like if you had been born like 3 months after the children of Israel had crossed the Red Sea and were on their way to the Promised Land. You're born 3 months after that. And for 39 years, they keep telling you, you're going to get to the Promised Land. You're going to get to the Promised Land. And you're looking at them and going, sure. There's a truth. Well, there's many truths. We sang it tonight in the first two songs. Your word is unfailing. Your promise is unshaken. Let's have a look at this. On the front of your notes, you've got a number of verses. King James there, so that we know it's legit. The rest of them there, so we can understand it a bit. I'm going to read from the middle part. I want to lay all this out on the table as clearly as I can, friends. This is complicated. It would be easy to misinterpret what's going on and arrogantly assume that you, that's the Gentile Romans, you are royalty, and that they, which is the Jewish race, the Jewish people, are just rabble, out on their ears for good. But that's not it at all. This hardness on the part of the insider, Israel, toward God is temporary. Its effect is to open things up to all the outsiders, which is you guys, the Gentiles, so that we end up with a full house. Before it's all over, there will be a complete Israel. Now, in the King James, it says, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, a champion will stride down from the mountain of Zion. He'll clean his house in Jacob. And this is my commitment to my people, the removal of their sins. From your point of view, as you hear and embrace the good news of the message, it looks like the Jews are God's enemies. But looked at from the long-range perspective of God's overall purpose, they remain God's oldest friends. God's gift, God's call, are under full warranty, never cancelled, never rescinded. And I'm going to read that in the King James. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And I'm going to read it out of the Mirror Word. For God's grace gifts and his persuasion of man's original identity are irrevocable. Irrevocable. The gospel doesn't always come across as good news. If you're a Jew in the first century AD and you're hearing the gospel, you're hearing the fact that the Messiah has come to Israel. And what has happened to the Messiah that has come to Israel, the one you've been praying for and looking for thousands and thousands of years? You killed him. Not a good start. Your leaders, your Sanhedrin, your Pharisees, your Sadducees, denied him. Therefore, the gospel has gone out of Israel to the Gentiles. You had your chance and you blew it. Have you ever felt like that? Ever felt like you've had your chance and you blew it? Paul knows where the Jewish Christians, or what the Jewish Christians are feeling. He's experienced it himself. but he wants to bring forth a message which is bigger than the perspective we normally have. So I'm going to go through the notes as much as I can, and you can follow me or you can just listen to me. The Jews don't leave the picture. What happens is they're no longer the sole bearers of the truth. They're no longer the only chosen people. But they're not removed from the picture. They're still there. They are just part of a bigger picture. God's plan is not thwarted. His purpose is being fulfilled. And in these chapters, Paul is teaching or showing where the Old Testament is fulfilled in the New Testament. Some people don't like looking at the Old Testament because, hey, we're in the New Covenant. But that's like having a tree without any roots. We need to have our roots deep down. We need to know where we came from. We need to know where the truth that we believe comes from. We need to know that God's promises are unfailing, are unshaken. No matter what his promise is and no matter what your circumstance or situation is. And the focus of this period in Romans is that. It's prophesied that the Jews are going to hear the gospel, hear the Messiah, see the Messiah, and they're going to reject him. That's prophesied in the Old Testament. Paul, being a Pharisee, knows this and he drags it up, shows it to them. He quotes from Isaiah 52, verse 7. But he changes the scriptures slightly. And I know I've never seen this before. You know, studying is good for me because I actually learned some things. I learned something new. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger bringing good news, breaking the news that all is well, proclaiming good times, announcing salvation, telling Zion, your God reigns. That's Isaiah 52. But when Paul writes this in verse 10-15, he uses these words. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. Not the feet of him, the feet of them. Because in the new covenant, it's not one, it's many. The Jews may have rejected the one because he didn't fulfill their expectations. But now the message has gone to the Gentiles. And Moses in Deuteronomy talks about this. He says, you are going to provoke your children through jealousy of your blessing on others. They will see your blessing fall upon others and they will become jealous. And that will draw them back to you. It's part of the big picture. Paul also goes further in one of my favourite verses in chapter 11, verse 1. Now I ask you, has God rejected his people? This is Paul writing. Now I ask you, has God rejected his people? He has just got through telling them that the Jews have rejected God. Has God rejected his people? Absolutely not. I am living proof that God is faithful. Marg's message, the word she gave, is so true. God is faithful. He doesn't depend upon our responses. And as we go further on, we'll see that. His promise is irrevocable. There is a confidence we can have in what God says that transcends our natural way of thinking and any confidence we have within ourselves. And that is shown because the Jews had confidence within themselves and they blew it. And Paul's word to the Gentiles reflects what the Jews have done and says, don't fall into the same trap. God's faithful. Paul writes about Elijah. Do you know the story of Elijah? And I love the story of Elijah. I just love it. I've been to Mount Carmel. I've stood up there. They've got a little plaque and statue. And there he stands against all the prophets of Baal. And God does a miracle. And Elijah's sacrifice is burnt up. It's accepted. and the prophets of Baal are killed. All of them. So you'd think at this stage Elijah would be on top of the world. He stood against 500 prophets of Baal. And he, through God, has conquered. But one woman, men, you'll understand this. One woman says to this man of God, this man of power for the hour, as it was to them, so it will be to you. And he heads for the hills. Takes off running. Gets discouraged. Becomes disappointed. Looks at it and says, take me now, I'm sick of this. I and I alone speak the truth. Do you know any prophets? You can tell a prophet because they and they alone speak the truth. The truth is spoken in many different forms to many different people and in many different mediums. God looks at him. I think he smiles. And he goes, Elijah, come here, boy. We need to talk. And he takes him across and says, look in the valley. And Elijah goes and looks at the valley. He says, there's 7,000 more prophets in reserve down there. I have drawn them aside as a remnant to myself. They have not bent their knee to Baal. They are faithful. They are the remnant. And what Paul's talking about to the Jewish Christians, the Jews in the church at Rome, is that right now, Jews are being saved, but they're a remnant. There's only a fraction of them being saved. In Acts, James says to Paul, come and look what's happening. There's thousands upon thousands of Jews being saved. And then the persecution starts. You know, every prophet, preacher, teacher, evangelist that was in the early church was Jewish. All of them. It's so easy to forget where we came from. And it's not lifting up the people. It's looking at the promise of God and then transposing that promise of God to the Jewish people into your own life. For your loved ones, for your children, for your partners, for your friends, for your family. Is there a promise of God? Yes, there is. Hold fast to the promise. He will not break his word. In chapter 11, verses 13 through to 24, Paul's saying to the Gentiles, you are grafted onto the root of Israel. You are not the root of Israel. You are grafted onto it. And you need not to think more highly of yourself than you already do. I didn't turn away from the children of Israel because Rome was a much better place. It's more urbane. You can get better coffee here. This is a fulfillment of my promise. It's a fulfillment of my word. You think that this is a surprise? No. You think I repent that I have made the Jewish people? No. This is a fulfillment of what I said. Do not get ahead of yourselves. The Gentiles now have a purpose. What is the purpose of the Gentile church? The Old Testament was the Old Covenant, which was covered by the Jews. The New Testament is the new covenant, which is preached by the Jews, the Jewish Christian believers, to the Gentiles who now have a purpose in carrying it back. The Old Testament had law as a basis. The New Testament relies on grace. It relies on the revelation of Jesus as the living word of God. Not a written code, but a living word. It relies upon his sacrifice for us. Whilst we were yet sinners, while we were yet at enmity with God, God shows us how much he loves us by sending his son, who volunteers to come and take the punishment that the law demands. The New Testament, the New Covenant, given to the Gentiles, is the gospel of grace. And grace doesn't extend just to the people we like. Do you ever wonder about, I just love the relationships in the Bible, Cain and Abel, Isaac and Ishmael, Jacob and Esau. Now we know who the good guys are. We've got Abel, but he's dead. We've got Isaac, and we've got Ishmael, who's chucked out. We've got Jacob, who I've never liked. And we've got Esau, who I've got a bit of a soft spot for, I've got to be honest with you. And you go, there's a separation. There's the good guys and there's the bad guys. There's the white hats and there's the black hats. And in the New Testament, guys, just take your hats off. Because the gospel of grace reunites Cain and resurrected Abel. It reunites Isaac and the cast off Ishmael because they're the Gentiles. It reunites Jacob and his brother Esau. Why? Because the gospel of grace embraces all. And this is the message that Paul's preaching in this section. And this is the message he's telling to the Gentiles. You now pick up the responsibility. God doesn't renege on his promises. He doesn't forget his loved ones. Have you felt God's love for you? We go, well, yeah, sometimes, occasionally, once in a blue moon. Felt it. I know it, but feeling it, that's a bit different. I'm a bloke. We don't major on feelings much. Have I felt it? I've been overwhelmed by it, but I've struggled with it. I struggled to sing Jesus Loves Me. For years, every time they'd start singing that, I just want to crinkle up and crawl away. I could sing Jesus Loves You, but I couldn't sing Jesus Loves Me. But God's love isn't dependent on how we feel. If you remember what it felt like the one time or the two times or the times you've felt it, it hasn't changed. It's always there. He's the same every morning. Our response varies by what we feel, not how he pours out his love to us. The Gentiles aren't the culmination of God's great plan. And Paul warns them not to think that they are. They're the continuation of Israel. There's no replacement. It wasn't Israel in the Old Testament, the church in the New Testament. It's the children of God in the Old Testament flowing through into the New Testament. We have a new bloodline. Israel has to have a new bloodline too. You're no longer the sons of Abraham or Jacob. You're the sons of God. The line that we had before is redundant. Why? Because we died in Christ and we rise again with him. Our bloodline comes from our Father. Now, we may not show up the same way, but I'll tell you something. Every Christian on the face of the earth for the last 2,000 years has got exactly the same DNA. Every one of them. Why? Because if you're a Christian, your Father's God. And that's a fact. We may not like the way some of our brothers and sisters look. And I know that some of our brothers and sisters don't like the way we look. That's their fault. No. That's simply a fact. It's relationships. It's family. As Paul goes on, he talks about the gospel going to Zion. Then he says the gospel coming out. The message goes to Zion. And then it comes out of Zion because the Messiah went to Israel. Jesus went to Jerusalem. When he was rejected and the church built in Jerusalem, first Jerusalem, then Judea, then to the ends of the earth, the messenger went to Israel. But the message comes out of Israel. It was forced out of Israel. Part of God's plan. Does it look like a bad thing? Sometimes. Are there things in our life that look like a bad thing? Sometimes. Is God faithful? All the time. It's a gospel of restoration. It's a gospel of redemption. If you think about the empires that were formed, that stood against the children of Israel, the empires that Daniel talks about in his prophecies, the Babylonians, Gentiles, the Persians, Gentiles, the Egyptians, Gentiles, the Medes, Gentiles, the Greeks, Gentiles, the Romans, Gentiles. These are the nations that the gospel is going to. And these are the nations that are going to carry the gospel back to Israel. Grace is offered to these enemies. And this is our task, is to share it as well. Not just on a corporate sense, but on an individual sense. Is there anybody God doesn't love? Now, I can immediately think of a few people that I think God's very fond of. But does anybody that God's love is not directed to? Do you sometimes get a bit tired? A bit weary in the waiting? God, you gave me a promise, but it hasn't turned up. You know, it's when? Israel, every year on the Passover, before they were restored after the Second World War into the nation, every year in the Passover, they would say, next year in Jerusalem. Next year in Jerusalem. And that had been going on for a long time. Paul knew that. So did Peter. And in 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 9, he says this. God is not late with his promises, as some of you would count lateness. But God is not willing. He holds back from closing the gate, from shutting the door, from finishing the time. He holds back for one reason. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and life. God's patience is bigger than our concept of unending. Will he shut the door one day? Yes, he will. Do I like that concept? The older I get, the more I like the concept. When I was younger, I didn't like the concept at all. God will shut the door one day, but only because he knows that's it. Everyone's had the choice. Everyone's had the chance. There are many questions we ask about that. And I believe that there are hidden truths in Scripture which can answer some of those questions. But they're not for us to debate in an open forum on a Sunday night. They're for us to talk about individually or in small groups. But God is not willing that any should perish. If his promise is seeming to take a long time, be assured of this. His promise is unfailing. If we face disappointment, disillusionment, disheartened, God's word is true. His mercy is new every morning. And his word is unfailing. And the message that Paul has for us in this whole section is don't think for one moment, don't get the concept for one moment that God will say to people he loves, well, you had your chance and you blew it, you're out of the scene. I've heard people say that. It's not true. There is a restoration of Israel coming. Why? Because God promised it. There's a restoration to people we love who God has given us promises for in our heart. Why? Because God said it. Our hopes are in Him, and our faith is in Him, and it will not fail. Paul stands there and says, yep, my people blew it, but God's not finished with my people. God's not finished with you or your people either. No matter where you are or where they are, the Jew rejecting God was still part of God's plan. He knew it was going to happen. He'd written about it a couple of thousand years before they did it. He knows. And He knows you. And He knows where you're coming from. And He knows what you need. And His promise to you is a blessing. Because His heart towards you, as Mark said, His heart toward you, forehead to forehead, nose to nose, and He breathes His Spirit into us all the time. Let's finish. Father, I thank You that Your promises are true. I thank You that You are life to us and light to our feet. I thank You that You gave us Jesus, who shows us the path, who walks the path for us, and who carries us along that path too. I thank You for the Holy Spirit that indwells us. I thank You for the presence of the Holy Spirit that's with us always. And I thank You that Your word is true and You are faithful. And in a world that changes, You don't. I pray for each one here tonight, Father, for Your blessing and the awareness of the promises You've made to be fulfilled. In Jesus' name. Amen.